Yesterday we went to a family wedding. And as family reunions go, you know, there are some people it's nice to reconnect with and see what's happening in their lives. And there's other family members you have difficulty with. And so as you interact, you're trying to keep things smooth and not create any ripples. And there was one place we were sitting eating a meal with a table full of people I didn't know, all of whom introduced themselves. And, you know, when you hear six names in a row, you forget them all. And then you're sitting there trying to make small talk, which for me is stressful. I'm not particularly good at it, calling people the wrong name. So anyways, I found myself seeking refuge, you know, trying to find a comfortable place I could rest inside in the midst of just trying to be a good person, trying to fit in right, trying to keep things, you know, on the up and up, which led me to think about the three gems, the place of skillful refuge that I wanted to talk about this morning. And, you know, the fact is life throws us off center all the time, right? The storms of life pull at us, whether it's disappointment or rejection or hopes or illness or discord. You know, we get thrown, we get tossed and turned by life. And, you know, when we get tossed and turned, we look for a place of perceived safety. Right, a place that we can rest, a place that we can come and collect ourselves and sort of come back to our center. And, you know, there are skillful places of refuge and unskillful places of refuge. I mean, take a moment and think about where you typically go for refuge when you feel sort of threatened or off-centered or, you know, scattered or not quite yourself. I know for myself, as a young woman, one of my places of refuge I took was anger. I was an angry young woman. You know, I was a feminist, you know, upset about the way women were treated and the Vietnam War. And that was a place of refuge for me, you know, where I could find a sense of center. Unfortunately, it was not a skillful place of refuge. It's a place that left a lot of scorched earth behind me, you know, damaged or destroyed relationships, close down possibilities, you know. And, you know, there are other places that sometimes we can take for refuge for myself. One is in strong opinion, right, and feeling like this is the right way to see things, this is how it should be. You can take refuge in gossip, you know, making yourself feel better by talking to somebody about a third party or a world situation that's not directly there to defend itself. You know, we take refuge sometimes in numbing out. You know, we can do that. People can do that through substance abuse. We can do it just in the many ways we can close down. You know, not want to feel things that are comfortable for us. I'm thinking of the defilements here. We also can take refuge in acquiring possessions. A friend of mine uses the word retail therapy, you know, by just collecting things around ourselves that make us feel better, you know, that make us feel like we have our environment is in control. And, you know, I don't mean to be pejorative about any of these unskillful refuges. You know, it's not a pejorative thing. We all have to try them out to see if they work, right? We try them out to see if they're going to, of the pluses and minuses in each of them. So it's kind of like the story, I was thinking of the story of the three little pigs, the house of straw, what was the second one? House of wood, and then the house of brick. You know, we have to try out those houses of straw and wood for a while to see how they work for us. It's just part of the learning curve of life. I love the idea of unskillful and skillful because it implies that we have intelligence and we can progress. But at some point, we go through enough houses of straw, at least I have, that I realized I wanted a house of brick as a refuge. I wanted a place that would truly enhance my life to be. So when we look at the triple gem, which is one of the basic pieces of the Buddha Dharma, it's the three places of refuge. We can think of these as places of skillful refuge, of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And, you know, the three gems of refuge ask us to draw deep into ourselves. There's a discipline to them, to move beyond sort of the small, nattering nabobs of personality, to find something deeper that we can use as a place of safety, as a place of standing. And ultimately, I think they ask us to give up the idea of defending ourselves against life. Ultimately, a refuge is in vulnerability, which seems paradoxical. So let's talk about the three gems for a minute. The first one is the refuge of Buddha, and it's the understanding in yourself that we all have the nature to awaken. That there is something in us that's bigger than those little forces of personality, the voices of mind, of reactivity that we can turn to. If nothing else, when you find yourself tossed and turned and you know you're lost, you know you're just ticked off or worried about something or you're not settled, it's the part of you that just even knows that that is going on, that is that inner refuge speaking to you, that just knows, wow, I'm so reactive. You know how we go through periods, I see this where if I'm feeling anxious, for example, everything in my life, the mind will bring them up for review one by one that my anxiety can attach to, right? Oh, there's that thing at work, right. Oh, there's that thing with my mom, right. And the anxiety can attach to whatever comes up. The Buddha refuge is just seeing that process happening that can just soften around that, can just see it for what it is. It's just, it's not the deepest part of your nature. It's not the truth of your being. There is something beyond that. In our practice, that which can see all the personality stuff processing, all that stuff, that which can see it and is not part of it, is that refuge. It is that refuge. It is part of the fruit of our practice, why we sit, to develop this refuge of the thing that's bigger than the reactions and the thoughts and all the whirling and churning that goes on inside. So, you know, we cultivate that refuge of the inner Buddha as that place that, as Thich Nhat Hanh says, remembers to take a deep breath. Okay, just breathe out here. Just let me collect myself for a moment. That is that refuge. The second refuge, and this is one that's often a little hard for me, is the refuge of Dharma. And I think of that refuge as being able to understand what it means to see things as they are. I mean, on the big scale, I think that refuge of Dharma is that whole understanding, all of the stuff we study, the huge part of the Buddha Dharma. But I think in a small way, it's just understanding that when you're caught up in something, when you're in a whirlwind, when you're in a reactive place, to just understand you're not seeing things as they are. Just knowing that. That you're seeing things through the veil of anxiety or upsetness or scatteredness, that there's the veil there, is part of the refuge of Dharma. Oh, I'm not seeing it as it is. There's a saying that says, everything's going to be all right in the end. If it's not all right, you're not at the end, which is another way of saying that. You know, just going, oh, seeing things as they are, as Sister Sayalai said to us a few weeks ago, is understanding things are impermanent. You know, what you're experiencing in the moment is not going to be there forever. And also understanding that the deepest satisfactoriness that we're looking for in life is not going to be found on that off-center place. So you stop churning it and looking at it for a solution. You realize it's not where your solution is. And the third part, Mark, of seeing things as they are is understanding the deepest truth of your being is not in a reactive pattern of life. It's just part of the human experience. But we don't look for our salvation there. We just see that it's part of living. Yeah, so the third one that Chaz spoke about last month when he was here is the refuge of Sangha. And in one sense, it's understanding we are all in this boat together. You know, we're going to sink and swim together. None of us has an extra edge or view. We're all part of this human experience together. And, you know, on the simplest level, the refuge of Sangha might be the friend you call when you're having a tough time, or the person you want to pass a thought by or talk about an experience with that can give you some wise counsel. On another level, the refuge of Sangha is being here in this room, knowing that the dedication and commitment we have to practice has created the space where we can all come, a circle we can just be ourselves, we can just go through our process, we can blow it if we want to, it's fine. Everything is fine. And then on the deepest level, the refuge of Sangha is not only the original Buddha himself that began this whole wheel turning, but 2,500 years of people we've never met and we don't even know the names of them that have dedicated their lives so that we can sit here in this circle today, that these teachings are still alive for us. It's really quite amazing. There is tremendous support from us. For many of us, it might be reading the right book or even just seeing something in an unlikely place that inspires us. You know, so it's all that inspiration that comes from the human circle together and how much we need that. And there's kind of a lessening of, for me, of self-importance, or I'm an island to myself, thank you very much. You know, just recognizing the walls come down and just we're vulnerable to each other and we lift each other. So the refuge of Sangha as well. So another part of looking at the refuge of Sangha, going back to the wedding yesterday, is recognizing that, you know, we don't choose who we are. We didn't choose the conditioning. We didn't choose the culture we come in. We just choose what we do with it. And so we're all in this mode of not having picked our personalities or our parents or our schooling or whatever it has worked on us to make us who we are, the junk that we work with inside. But the refuge of Sangha is we've all got junk. You know, we're all working through it. And that ability to open in compassion to ourselves and each other is the refuge of Sangha, of our humanity being a grace of compassion as well as kind of the burden we carry around, you know, of working on all that stuff. So, you know, taking these refuges of the three gems, I invite you to just look at the next week, the next hour, as you're walking around and your stuff gets hit. You know, you hear something on the radio, somebody says something to you, two people are talking, you're not sure if you can join in the conversation. Just all the little ways our stuff gets hit. And look at where you take refuge in that, where you stand. And I think the challenge of this path is to open up and be vulnerable. To open up and go, wow, I'm standing here not sure I can join in that conversation over there. Everyone shares this. Everyone shares this feeling. So the three gems, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, they sound like, you know, kind of artificial things there, but it's very personal and very alive to us. Thank you. Thank you.